Hello.
Hi.
Welcome to Drinking the Kool-Aid.
Welcome.
I'm your host, Megan.
I'm Hannah.
Well, actually, Hannah's host today.
Oh, that's true.
Whoopsies.
That's all right.
But we're back.
Yeah, we are.
sorry for the abrupt stop there. Normally, we would prefer to at least announce it and say, hey, we need a little break. But we had some sicknesses in our home.
It was my fault.
Yep.
I got COVID and I ended up getting everybody sick.
So today Hannah's going to tell us a really scary story apparently. But before we do that, just want to say, I know this was a while ago, but on our last podcast, I think that one was Lida Southard, was it? Something like that. It was Lida. So Hannah and I are complete idiots.
We all know that.
It's been established. Okay, so there was a part in there where I said that one of her nicknames was like Lady Bluebeard, and then we giggled and laughed about it and made fun of it. I got two people that sent me emails.
No, really?
Yes.
Oops.
It's really funny. They were both very pleasant about it. It was hilarious. And they were just saying that, like, there's actually a meaning to it.
Oh, my God. My bad.
Yeah. I'm still a little unclear about it, but apparently it's from like a tale or a story. And it was essentially a term that was used, it looks like, for a man who marries and then kills a wife and keeps going one after the other.
Oh.
So that's why she was Lady Bluebeard.
Oh.
Yeah. So, there you go.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Whoops.
I guess I should have looked that term up before we said it, but
I guess I should have controlled my immaturity.
The emails were hilarious, so I appreciate it.
We got emails?
Yeah.
And you didn't even tell me?
No.
Rude.
We were sick, but that did keep me very entertained.
That's awesome. But like, I'm sorry if I like shouldn't have laughed at that. That was my bad.
We laugh at anything that's like either funny or uncomfortable or sad.
I was just gonna say, uncomfortable laugh all the time.
Yeah. Like, we have no control. It's just something we do in our family. I have no idea why. So,
yeah, we have issues.
Yes.
Well, sorry about that.
But thanks for the correction.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Seriously, we definitely appreciate it.
Yeah. So, I think that's all of our business for the day.
So, it's time to get to the story.
Yeah.
Which is
spook.
But is it not our last state?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You guys. That was the other reason I was so upset about where we stopped. This is our very last state that we're covering.
It is.
And then it opens up to anything and everything.
But I'm glad that we did what we did, because I feel like we covered a lot of smaller stories that not many people hear about and that need to be out there.
Yeah, and that we probably wouldn't have considered if we weren't doing that.
Yes, so I am glad that we did that.
Yes.
So, this takes us to our last state, which is Kansas.
Whoop, whoop.
I am going to be telling you guys about the Sally House.
I'm already scared.
It basically gave me nightmares. It's all good.
Yeah.
So, this story is going to take place in Atchison, Kansas at 508 North 2nd Street. And guys, bear with me. I wrote this story like a month and a half ago. So some things I've kind of been a little wishy-washy on. I'm like, I think that I'm doing this correctly. So just please bear with me.
Or send her hate emails, whatever.
You can do that too. Honestly, I have not gotten a hate email and I kind of want one now. So.
No, be nice. We like nice. Like, remember in kindergarten, be nice.
No, I don't remember.
Oh, okay.
So, anyways, the house was built between 1867 and 1871 by Michael C. Finney. His son, Dr. Charles Finney, got a knock on the door on a stormy night in 1906. A very frantic mom was holding her daughter, who was unfortunately dying because she had appendicitis. Dr. Finney could not wait. Oh boy. I always mess this word up. I cannot say this word.
Is it a word I know?
Yes. It's what they give you to knock you out. Or like what they give you to like when they're putting like you under just for a short time. Like what is that called?
Anesthesia?
Yes. Thank you. I can't say it.
Oh, I was like trying to go through all of the different things that they would give you.
Of course you were like, yeah, you were getting technical on me over there. I just needed that word.
I didn't realize it was that. Okay.
I can't say it. I don't know why. It does not come out correctly.
Anesthesia.
So that, he couldn't wait for that to kick in. So he started operating on her right away. Ooh, I'm already cringing. Her appendix burst during the surgery and she passed away quickly after. Now just think like how awful this is because she's a little girl who just got thrown into surgery with nothing. No pain meds, nothing. But, spoiler alert, this part of the story is widely known, but could just be a legend. There is a lot of controversy on if Sally existed or not. So, I'm kind of going to jump into something a little weird here just for a minute, but you'll understand why later in the story. This was actually taken straight from Deborah's blog, and I know you don't know who she is yet, but you will in a second. I feel like this is important for you guys to hear. So somebody on her blog asked her if they'd ever found out for sure what was causing it, and Deborah replied with, quote, "No, we did not. We are fairly certain that there was never a little girl spirit named Sally. There are no records we can find to substantiate." Oh my gosh, I cannot talk today. Sally.
Substantiate.
Yeah, thank you. God, can we like edit that part out?
No.
Please.
Maybe.
There are no records we can find to substantiate Sally. We believe that there is a much darker force in the house that presented as an innocent little girl to gain our acceptance and ultimately... And ultimately, an invite to cause chaos in the home within our family. So the reason I put this here, okay, so early, is because this is actually horrifying. As we get further into the story, you're gonna see how they actually did invite this particular spirit in and treated almost of it as if it was, like, alive and with them, which is really, really a scary thing to me. Many other people have done extensive research on the home and can't find anything on Sally that lived in a town. Some even say there was no activity reported in the house up until around 1990. You can choose what you want to believe. Maybe she wasn't even from there, but was from another town over. Maybe records got lost, you know, or just didn't exist of her. Maybe the appendix story was made up, but she was still a spirit inside the house. There's so many different possibilities here. So I'll let you guys make up your own minds as we go. The family who actually bought the Sally house, they did not want to bring this into the light at all. They were the Pickmans, Tony, Deborah, and their newborn son. They moved into the house, and it was owned at the time by Les Smith, who rented it to them. It was never actually either of their intentions to make the Sally house famous. They were really more nervous than anything to come out publicly because they were worried about what people might think or say about them, which is completely understandable. They didn't want to be blasted on TV and all the bullshit that comes with it. They literally just wanted help because they didn't know how to deal with this type of situation. Unfortunately, most of this ended up happening anyway. But they still lived in this house for 22 months, enduring multitudes of paranormal happenings. One of these many incidents was with teddy bears. Like, actually a lot of incidents had to do with teddy bears, but this one in particular. The Pickmans had been gone all day with Deborah's sister, who had been visiting. When they got home, Tony went upstairs, and the stuffed animals and dolls in the nursery were in a perfect circle, which I already hate.
Oh my gosh.
I know. I already hate it.
No.
So he asked Deborah, like, why the fuck did you put the teddy bears in a circle? Like, this is creepy. She had no idea what he was talking about. So all three of them went upstairs and saw what Tony described. Thinking it's some goofy prank done by his brother who lived next door, they put them back on the shelves, flipped the light off, and headed back down. On the way down the stairs, the light came back on. So they all went back up, and the stuffed animals were back in the damn circle. Now, think about how fast this is happening, though, because they literally flipped out the lights and started to head down the stairs. And by the time the light came back on, they were already all back where they were in the first place.
Dude, when I was younger, I would, like, flip on the light really fast and try to see if any of my toys were moving.
Yes.
Yeah, because of Toy Story.
I absolutely did the same thing. I know, Toy Story really messed with my mind, man. I was convinced.
Yeah, and, like, I couldn't catch them.
And they had to be, like, in good positions so that they weren't uncomfortable the whole time I was gone.
Right.
Anyways, sorry. So, not long after this happened, Tony's brother was over and talking about the bear incident. They were in the living room, and they had a bear that was sitting on the table next to the TV. His brother starts saying things like, if you're here, I'm going to take a picture, show me, do something, like, just kind of taunting it. When he finished his sentence, the bear spun around in a circle, and this is actually caught in a picture his brother took. You can see how blurry the bear is from spinning while everything else is actually in focus. So, like, you can, yeah, when I, literally, you can tell that this bear is in motion. Everything else is completely in focus, but this bear is directly in the middle of the picture in motion. They're scared shitless at this point. Understandably, I would be too.
I am.
And it's actually the first time they felt forced to leave, though it happened many times after this. So they packed up the baby and they headed to Tony's parents' house. As he was putting him in his car seat, he felt a stinging sensation on his back. He was freaked out at this point, though, you know, and when you've got adrenaline running, you're just like, get me the hell out of here. You're not really thinking what this could be. So he thinks an insect bit him. So they lift his shirt to see, you know, like, what's bugging him. And instead of finding an insect bite, they find 3 scratch marks directly down his back. I'm like, ugh. Yeah, it's freaky. Okay. A lot of anger and forces seem to go after Tony the most. Like, he's the target. He couldn't sleep at night because he could hear whispers that he said sounded like 6 different people. He couldn't make out the whispers, but he could hear them a lot. Like, he could, you know, he could hear the whispering, but he couldn't actually make out specific words from them. He'd also hear scratching noises on the walls. Freaking hate that.
Oh.
They would have lights and TVs go on and off. Pictures flip upside down. Candles that had never been lit would have wax melted up the candle.
What?
So it actually melted the opposite. It defied gravity and melted up, and they'd never even been lit, but yet the wax was melted up the sides.
Dude, that's so cool.
I know, it's super creepy.
Oh, yeah, that too.
So, yeah, I hate that so much. Like, that just, I mean, I think it's really cool, but it is horrifying. So Tony came home from work one day at around 7 a.m. He was going to pour himself some orange juice, and he grabbed a glass from the cupboard. When he turned around, a little girl that he described as dressed from the 1800s with brown hair that was pulled up in a bow on top of her head was standing there. They both seemed to, like, have startled each other, so when he dropped his glass, it shattered. He looked down at it quick. By the time he looked up, she had already disappeared. This was believed to be Sally, and he immediately bolted upstairs to tell Deborah, who started asking him a ton of questions, trying to get all the details she can. Tony said she looked just as real as any human looks, and he drew up a portrait of her the best that he could, which I will actually have Megan post on the Facebook so that you can see that quick. I did have it pulled up here for you, Megan, but I must have accidentally gotten rid of it at some point.
That's okay. You can send it to me.
Nope. You gotta see it now.
Oh, I gotta see it now.
Yeah, because you have to see how realistic it is. I know. She's making faces. She's not by the microphone, but she's making faces. So it's very realistic. I mean, it looks like it's got details. It looks like any normal little girl. I should also mention here that the original spelling of Sally was S-A-L-L-Y. But when they figured out the time period she would have lived in, it was changed to S-A-L-L-I-E. And I only mention that because that's how it's spelled on the portrait that he actually made.
Oh, that's actually really interesting. I never heard that before.
Yeah, I just kind of thought, you know, if you look it up and you see the wrong spelling and you're like, what the heck? Because the Sally House, you know, is spelled differently, but...
Yeah, I've only known it as I-E for the spelling.
Same.
So, cool.
This wasn't the only time he saw a full apparition, though. He was trying to sleep one day when he heard the usual creepy sounds, the whispering and the scratching on the walls. He looked out the window and said it looked like, you know when, like, you, like, pat a couch cushion or something in the direct sunlight and you can see, like, the floating particles, like, it looks like glitter in the air?
Yeah.
He said it looked like that. And he could see the little dots floating. And then it started to get darker and darker until it formed into the shape of a woman. She walked towards his bed. He was trying to scoot his back as much as he could, because he's scared as hell, obviously. And her freaking arm shot out at him, and she said, "I'm gonna."
Gonna what?
I know, right?
Oh no, that's it?
Yeah, just said, "I'm gonna."
No.
He said he was so scared, he literally could not scream. It wouldn't come out. In June of 1993, the Pickmans brought in Barbara Connor, who was a psychic and a family friend who they trusted to stay discreet about the situation. She came from California and was connected to some production companies. She was approached not long after by multiple platforms trying to do a story on the house. And Barbara was actually the one who named it the Sally House, because that's the first name she heard while investigating the house, told to her by a little girl apparition. Due to being told that they should almost invite this spirit in by Barbara, because she was a sweet little girl who just wanted some attention.
Oh no!
This is why I mentioned that earlier, because this gets real weird.
We've learned about this.
Oh, it's creepy. Deborah got her a little boy baby doll. Barbara also said she needed to set rules and be firm on these rules. She unpackaged the doll, as in, like, got rid of the twist ties and everything, then put it back in the box and wrapped it up like a gift. She left it in the corner of the nursery where she had put some crayons and paper for Sally to draw or write with. For months, the package sat in that exact spot, until the day that Deborah walked in the nursery and saw the exact doll sitting on the crib. Or in the crib, sorry. She looked over to the wrapped box, and it still sat in the exact same spot, untouched. But the doll was in the crib.
Oh my gosh. Okay.
She even checked to see if the tape had been pulled off, like you do when you're a kid and trying to peek in your presence. No, it hadn't. It had not been moved at all.
Oh, is that what you do when you're a kid, Hannah?
Oh, shut up. You did it with me.
Whatever.
Don't even try to deny it. She also caught pictures of the crayon standing up on its own in a writing position. She didn't know what she was doing, obviously, at this point. But, like, please don't invite spirits in like this, like she's doing, because they can pose as children. And it can get bad really, really quick. So please don't do that. Just throwing that out there. Back to the crayons and the paper. Deborah had written on the pad of paper, quote, "Hello, Sally. How old are you?" When her neighbors brought by a few dolls that their kids had played with previously, she went to put them in the corner where she set that little thing up for Sally. And the paper had said the number 7 and the word "like." Like as in she probably liked all these dolls and toys that they were bringing her. Hate it. Hate it. Hate it. Not okay with this. They have a lot of picture proof. Literally multitudes of pictures with blobs, masses, orbs, shadows, figures, like faces. One picture of the doll they got her with had a blue mass around it, which they sent to their psychic friend, Barbara Connor, and she claimed that it was love and happiness. Basically, her way of telling them that she loved her doll. Huge cringe. Ugh. As they brought in more mediums and psychics, they found a rose in the windowsill that was still burning, but from the inside out.
Oh my gosh.
It started itself on fire and burned from the inside out, like the inside of the rose was burned before the outside. This wasn't the only thing that started on fire on its own. A teddy bear had flames coming out of its head. Okay. Literally shooting flames out of its head.
You're providing a lot of nightmare fuel here.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I had to research this, so don't even go there. Tony knew it was time to get out of the house. Oh, I hate this too. This is so creepy. When Deborah was getting ready for work one morning and he started to have thoughts about how he wanted to hurt her, as he was watching her, he felt like he wanted to stab her. They left the house within a week of this incident.
Good.
Permanently.
Okay. Yeah.
So we're going to Hold on, let me see. Oh, I guess we're jumping back to Les Smith. Okay, so Les Smith is the owner of the house as they were renting from him. He is also the sheriff of that town. He was catching word that they were bringing mediums in, and he didn't believe any of it. But he stopped by one night to make sure the house was locked up and decided to tell Sally, if she was real, do something. Show him she was real. Came up with an idea. He wrote his phone number down and told her to call him, but to only let the phone ring twice. Then do that twice, so he knows it's her. He thinks he's only talking to himself at this point because he's not a believer. So he's just going off, you know, talking to himself in this house. On his way out the door, the next morning, to let the investigators into the house, his phone rings. It rang twice.
Oh my God.
And when he picked it up, no one was there.
I would pee my pants.
He hung up, headed back out the door. The phone rang again, two times. Now he's remembering what he said to Sally, because originally he's not thinking that. He's just thinking, oh, my phone is ringing, because he's a non-believer. So when he picks it up that second time, all he hears is static.
And then he, like, peed?
No, he did not.
Okay, not that he admitted anyway.
He calls his friend Father Tom because he's freaked the fuck out and basically asks if this is even possible. Father Tom tells him, this is not something to mess with. I agree. And after that, he'd only go over there if he absolutely needed to. And he did his best not to bother anything after that. He was like, I'm done. I'm not screwing with this again. He did go back while he was on duty one night with his partner, Joe. Oh, no. I should have looked up this last name. Joe Butner. I should have looked up the last name. I'm guessing that's how you say it.
Feels right.
Anyways, it feels right. Joe Butner to sign a contract for the TV show Sightings, who were filming at the house. While he was signing the paper, his paper started fluttering, right? So he's looking around and he's like, there's no way there can be a breeze in here. There's literally plastic on the windows, so there can be no wind. The crew creepishly said, she's here, and got out their equipment and started recording as soon as it happened. I would be gone, dude. And then she said she didn't like the police uniforms, so they pieced the fuck out. Like, we're done.
Like, what would you like me to wear?
When you shave, if his beard don't like my outfit, I'm dipping too. Like, yeah. I ain't dealing with that. I'm not trying to piss him off. Later in the day, later that day that they had peaced out, they had decided to take a drive by the house. They were in an old Ford truck that had big buttons for the headlights that you had to pull to turn off. Like, you had to really pull on them. And then you had to push them in to turn the headlights on. So it's, you know, it's a big motion. It's not something that could just be triggered accidentally. So they got about 20 yards from the house and the headlights went off. Radio static came on. Joe thought Les was messing with him. So they drove by again. Only this time the dome lights popped on. Joe was watching the whole time and his hands never left the steering wheel. So they went back one more time and the headlights went out again. But it has never happened since that time. They've driven past and it's never happened again. It was just that night. They feel like the reason behind that is because the cameras and all the people being at the house brought out the energies a bit more and made them kind of, you know, mess with people a little bit more.
Yeah.
Which also caused more attacks on Tony. There's actually this part, you guys. Oh, this got me. You have to look this, like, clip up.
Let's skip it.
No.
Oh.
So there is actually about 9 minutes of uncut footage of Tony's back and torso as cuts start forming one by one.
Oh, hell no.
And it's creepy as shit. You have to look it up. Really creepy. Multiple people witnessed this, and the uncut film had been authenticated. I don't know why that came out so proper. Authenticated? Authenticated multiple times. So, like, multiple people have been like, no, this is uncut. This is real. This isn't the only time this would happen. They'd have Tony sit in a chair for hours, and they just watch as more scratches appear. And again, you can look all of these pictures and videos up online.
I would like to know why Tony was like, I know. Yeah, he's like, I'm going to do that.
Yeah,
let
I don't know.
Sit here and be scratched.
I would never.
Okay.
And actually this caused a couple of crew members to quit because they were so freaked out by everything that was happening with him.
I would get the hell right out of there. Seriously.
Dude, I would too. Neighbors also experience weird happenings, and some say that their dogs won't even walk on that property when they're out for a walk. They won't even go near it. Kate Peltzer lived next door with her 3-year-old son, whose window faced the Sally's house. He would wake up around 2 or 3 a.m., which is the freaking witching hour, of course.
Yeah.
And he'd be freaked out about the monsters. Like, obviously, she's like, okay, he's a little kid. You know, he's probably just thinking something's in his closet or something. And then one night, he screamed. Like, not a scream. Like, I'm messing around, one of the legit something's really wrong screams. So Kate went running into his room, and as she entered, the hairs on her body stood up as her son was hiding in the blanket with only his eyes visible and his finger sticking out, which he was using to point at something going in circles around his bed.
Uh-oh.
He said it was a black flying monster. Kate grabbed both of her kids and had them sleep in her room that night. I would have literally left the house.
I was just gonna say, sleep in the room, peace. Get in the car and go.
I'm just saying.
Like, don't look back.
So, Kate was invited on a paranormal investigation since she lived right next door. On their way down the stairs to the basement, some people were on the stairs, some had already made it down. Someone turned the lights off to use night vision camera. As soon as they did that, a brick was thrown at the people on the stairs.
Oh.
But the basement has a stone wall and a wooden ceiling. So there are no bricks in the area. Literally no bricks.
Oh.
So after flicking the lights back on and looking at the brick, they decide to try shutting them off again. And the same thing happens. Another brick is thrown at them. And it happens a few more times. And Kate wouldn't even go down to the basement. She's like, I'm just going back the hell upstairs. Like, I'm done. Because there's bricks manifesting and being thrown at you. I would not even be in the house again. Just saying. One evening, Kate decided to have a barbecue with some friends and family. Her two nieces were curious about the house, so they peeked in the window. Kate told them to look through the back door because, like, the things that she had seen through that door before. As her nieces are looking through the window, Kate walked around the side of the house to see, like, if she could find anything, and the radio turned on. Like it had done many times before. I hate that.
Uh-huh.
Except this time when the radio turned on, something grabbed her. So, she peaced out, like most of us would. Except, she said she was literally half crying and half laughing all the way back to her house because she was in so much shock that something had actually grabbed her.
Yeah.
Because she had heard this radio turn on so many times.
Mm-hmm.
Fun fact, one of the previous tenants was into witchcraft, and she painted a pentagram on the floor.
Why did you do that?
Which has since been covered, but probably did not help the situation.
Oh my gosh.
They do think this help feeds one of the more malicious spirits of the house, and that this spirit may be in control of other spirits and causing them to fear it. Many investigators report feeling sick and heavy feelings in their chest, difficult breathing, and nightmares after being in the house. I'm having nightmares just from researching it, I'm just saying. So the Pickmans decided to go back to the house 14 years later. On the first day that they were there, they took some pictures. But on the second day, as they pulled up, Renee Liker, who's a paranormal investigator, saw a dark shadow getting out of a chair and felt as it was almost... the shadow was, like, waiting for them because it was sitting in front of the window that they pulled up by. As the Pickmans walked in, they said the feeling of the house was different from the day before and really heavy. Deborah was smudging the master bedroom and Tony was taking pictures. Out of the corner of her eye, Deborah saw Tony get lifted and thrown about 3 feet, so forceful that his laced shoe was left on the ground right where he stood.
Whoa.
And then he couldn't get back up. Renee and Deborah said they actually could see his neck muscles tensing up from him trying so hard. Renee started yelling that she demanded in God's name that it release him, which it did. Chills. Ah.
You are freaking me out.
I'm freaking me out.
You're freaking me out, man.
Robbie Thomas, who is from Canada and a psychic who's helped law enforcement, written books, had a radio show, and worked on many paranormal cases, did an investigation of the house along with Michael Esposito, who specializes in EVP recordings. Michael was able to get multiple recordings, including creepy laughter, spirits saying he's the devil and he's in power, which feeds into them thinking, you know, that other spirits are fearing this one that is controlling them. Robbie said that as soon as he entered the house, he could feel evil. He felt the most uneasy in the master bedroom closet, which has cold spots, made his hair stand on end, and gave him just like all sorts of uneasy feelings, which he then brought his dog in, who refused to go near the closet.
Oh my gosh.
Trust them animals. Do it. They can see things. This was also the same bedroom that Tony had been lifted and thrown in. One of the times that they were filming, Renee asked if they could, or if they wanted to bring clergy into the house. And at that moment, Tony grabbed his stomach and actually fell backwards while screaming. They immediately smelled sulfur and lifted up his shirt. And his skin was red and the hair on his stomach was like pulled up to his skin. Like if you take a lighter and put it on your arm hairs, you know, you like your hair like balls up. That's what it looked like all over. And that's where the sulfur smell was coming from. And they could see it happening. They could see his hair burning with no fire. So there is footage of this, just so you know.
I'm not watching it.
And it's in the documentary, The Sally House, Gateway to the Paranormal. There are said to be many spirits, which I highly recommend you watch that, by the way. I'm just throwing that out there.
I'm actually glad that you researched this one because I would not have been able to watch that stuff.
So as I'm telling this story, I really hope that I'm doing it justice because Deborah has actually said many times, Deborah and Tony, that a lot of these documentaries that they do just glorify it for the media. And they don't really depict what has truly happened. And so I took a lot of my information from the thing I just mentioned, the Sally House Gateway to the Paranormal, and also directly from Deborah's blog. I didn't necessarily want to take it from many other sources because she specifically said this documentary was one of the most accurate ones out there, whereas the other ones are just kind of floofing it up again for the media. Like ghost adventures and stuff, you know, it's covered in so many different things, but nobody truly covers their experiences like how she wants them to. So I'm really hoping that I'm doing this justice for her. And just for the record, there is so many other experiences with other people. But again, I wanted to keep it to the ones that I knew that she was saying were most accurate.
I like that. And you know what? Actually, that's one of the problems that I've run into in any of the paranormal ones that I've kind of, you know, thrown in here. There's so many different accounts, then it starts snowballing and people are adding to it.
Yep.
And then you're not sure where it even originated anymore.
And then there's like 12 different psychics and like 4 different TV shows that have been in there, and all of them are saying different things. And all of them are doing different things to make it better for people to want to watch it more.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't think that a lot of those are accurate. She said that this one is so far, or at the time it was the most accurate when she was writing her blog.
Yeah.
And she does have a full blog that you can go to and see her experiences and see her actual words and stuff, which is thesallyhouse.com. And again, Sally is spelled S-A-L-L-I-E. If you are interested more in the Sally House, I would highly suggest watching that documentary. It is very informative. I did relay a lot of the info that was in it, but it's also really intriguing to see them talk about it themselves because they actually do the interview with them and them talking about it. It's so much creepier because you can see the emotion and see that they're actually, you know, freaked out by this and what they went through. And you can just see it all over them, the stress from it. And it's terrifying, to be honest. Unfortunately, they still continue to have experiences that they believe relate back to the house over the years. They don't really go into specifics, but, you know, they've had a lot of issues that have just, they're like, this has got to do with the spirits that may have followed us from that house. But you know, and this is long after they left, years and years. But they said that they have found ways to keep God by their side and use resources to prevent the evil from trying to enter their lives. And that is the story of the Sally House.
Okay, first I'd like to start off by saying I really hate that, like, these demonic entities or whatever they happen to be always show up when people are sleeping.
Stop I know. Doing that. I hate that.
I don't want to be bothered when I'm sleeping.
Yeah, I don't like that either. It,
like, could you come to me at 2 p.m. if you're going to? I mean, right. I would rather you
piss
didn't.
Piss me off then.
Yeah. Because then I'm going to have several hours to, like, cool down from this situation.
Exactly.
But, yeah, that's the first thing I wanted to throw out there. I understand that they're probably coming out, you know, like you said, during witching hours. But, no thank you. that gave me the creepy feelings.
Yes, me too.
And I'm...
Oh, sorry.
I don't know why, but I am the most hung up on the candles burning upwards.
I knew you would be.
For some reason, like, okay, you tell me all this other stuff, and I am just stuck on it, and I'm like, oh my gosh, is there, like, a parallel universe where everything is in reverse?
It might be.
Okay.
And again, I just want to, you know, point out, I obviously did not even go through, like, all of their experiences there. I just wanted to go through, like, some that were more major than others, because there were so many experiences.
Yeah.
And so many people have gone there and experienced things, but I just really wanted to keep it to what she, or I guess they, what, because I keep saying she because I was from her blog, but I just really wanted to keep it to where she was saying it was accurate. I didn't want to start throwing in a bunch of shit willy-nilly and hope that it was right. So, you know, there's a lot more experiences they had, but these ones were the ones that I thought were kind of really important.
Yeah, yeah. So,
but yeah, the fact that she invited it in on unknowingly, obviously, she says it later. She's like, at the time, I didn't realize the damage I was doing. But, you know, that could have had been why it was escalating to, like, Tony getting scratched and everything. And just, like, they really hated Tony.
I think that we've seen that, though, where it gets really tough because, you know, you're like, oh, it's a little kid. Right. I feel so bad.
Yes.
You know, and that's what they do. So I know the people that are sensitive to that stuff and, like, actually, you know, believe that there are, you know, spirits would probably easily fall into it.
Correct.
And, I mean, I was thinking about it as you were talking. I know this is a little off topic, but there is a bar that Hannah and I used to frequent called Beer Bellies. And I can't tell you how many people have said they actually have seen a little girl, like a small child, in the kitchen.
I was just going to say, does she like to hang out in the kitchen?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I was sitting there as you were saying it, and I was like, oh my gosh, what if it was something really bad?
Oh, shit.
I know. So
I did not even consider that.
We can't go there anymore.
Yeah. Okay, deal.
All right.
Oh, but yeah, that is the super creepy story, and I'm sure I won't sleep tonight again. I didn't sleep the night I did all the research, so.
Okay.
Here we go again.
So I guess that ended up being kind of our anniversary episode, because I was planning on doing something for that, but obviously now we're well past that.
Oh my god.
Yeah. We've been doing this thing for a year.
Oh my god.
Surprise. So.
I just accidentally did the anniversary episode and I didn't even know?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
So you better have done well.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So now, like I was kind of saying earlier, we're at the point where we can cover anything. Like, we can do unsolved mysteries, serial killers, paranormal, whatever. If it's weird, we want to cover it. So you can go ahead, and if there's stories you want to hear, we want to tell them to you. So send them to us. It can be something simple where you comment on the Facebook page. Send us a private message on our Facebook page, or even send me an email. And then we can take a look at those stories and start covering what you want to hear. Make sure to follow us on any of your podcast apps. Like us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Give us a 5-star review if you love us. Tell your friends, tell your cats. Bye. Bye.